Welcome, 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 welcome to the relaunch of the art department. It's been a hot minute. It's been since like early in the pandemic that we've had an art department. So we are so excited to be back with the art department and back with a couple of guests. We have a couple of handsome gentlemen with us this evening. We've got Blake Stevenson.
Got it right.
And to the right, we have Justin Froning.
All right.
Yeah, baby.
German and all.
We can't hear the audience clapping, but they are.
Everyone's clapping. Yeah, everyone's clapping. So you may recognize them more by their online handles with jetpacks and roller skates and the House Bear. Both of these guys are graphic designers and do a lot of work with, I would say, fanciful themes. That's probably the best way to encapsulate the two of you. You definitely venture off when it comes to style, and we'll talk about all of that over the next few minutes. If I'm trying to put you guys into one package, it's you guys like to do fun stuff with bright colors. That's yeah. So with that said, I want you guys to each give us, we'll start with you, Justin. Your Reader's Digest version of who you are.
Oh, God, who am I?
I mean existentially.
That's a core question. Existentially.
Yeah, nothing about your work, but yeah.
I'm a brain in a vat. I mean, that's really all it is. I'm from Northwest Arkansas, born and raised, moved around a bit, came back here, lived in Seattle for a while and really loved it up there. I was a musician for a long time, and that's kind of how I got into all of this. I started doing, you know, graphic design and stuff, just making flyers for my band when I was in high school and college and all that kind of stuff. And then ended up becoming a professional musician, made merch and stuff for our band on the road, and then for other bands we ran into, and just sitting in a van all the time, you have to do something besides snack. And so you chose to do something.
I overachieved. Yeah.
I'm responsible.
It's wise of you to do something other than just sit in a van and eat. Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. So I got into doing gig posters and stuff because I started collecting them. I loved them and got into the whole thing and was like, I wonder if I could do this. And so I was more of a graphic design basis, primarily taking shapes and stuff. I loved Invisible Creature and the way they were doing stuff, was inspired by that. So taking shapes, shading them, doing that kind of thing. And eventually, I bought a Kevin Tong Appleseed Cast poster that just blew my mind. And I was like, I want to start like really drawing again. I'm kind of an oddball a little bit in the industry because my last like art class was in seventh grade. I'm totally self-taught, so I think my limitations kind of helped me get out of the box a little bit, because I don't even know I'm doing things the wrong way sometimes, and that seems to help. I started drawing by hand again and really loving that, and so it's kind of coalesced into this convergence of illustration and design. It's been a long time before I felt like I could call myself an illustrator / designer. Like, for a long time, I was like, I'm a designer who can kind of illustrate a little bit. I remember like the first couple of times an agency hired me as an illustrator, I was like, are you sure? Like, I don't want to give it away, but I'm not. But yeah, so I'm coming into owning it.
Curious with anybody that creates, how much of the style that you do now is because you intentionally want to produce that style versus you just kind of naturally, it came to you, it made sense to you, so you just kept doing it?
This is a good. I mean, so I definitely have a kind of a variety that kind of comes up to. I feel like in the last 2 years, I kind of figured out like this is what makes a piece like my piece. And you know, I'll have things that kind of come up where a band or a company will want to use something that I drew a little while back, and I'm like, well, let me throw a little bit of like halftone type stuff in that, and they'll kind of bring it up to speed. But I found it, a lot of it was trial and error. Like I would, you know, get stuff ready for screen print, and I'd have like a lot of gradients and things like that, and as I shipped it off, what I'd get back was like, oh, that's, it didn't gradiate the way I expected. You know, it was messier or grainier, or you lost detail, and I kind of finally figured out some tools where I could use that kind of line half toning in the process. And so as I'm drawing it, I see what I'm going to get, final result. And that a lot of that just kind of became my style. Like now it has this kind of grit to it, and it helps me know what it's going to be more of a final result as I'm doing it, which is a lot more rewarding in the process, because it feels more like I'm actually making this thing and not like I'm making something. We'll see what you do with it.
So let me ask this question, because you mentioned Kevin Tong, and I think we're all familiar with Tong's work, and some of your newer stuff, seemingly, if I'm flipping through your stuff, it starts to feel like it has a little bit of his influence, right? Like the subtle dithering and some of the textures that you bring in. Did you look to Kevin Tong as inspiration for illustration work, or did you just really like the Appleseed cast? Like, what was the bridge there? Do you follow Kevin Tong as an artist, or how'd that whole thing play out for you?
Definitely. That was one of the first like pricier ones I bought. You know, I was like, I've always loved Appleseed cast. It's one of my favorite bands. And then when I saw that piece that he did, I was like, who's this guy? This is awesome. And then I ended up kind of collecting a lot of his stuff years back. So it's I think it was definitely more influential as far as like getting into that, just getting back to drawing, you know, like with like, I still don't do it a lot in pencil or paper. I do a lot of it on my iPad, but that feeling of drawing by hand, more so that than like, how did he do this kind of thing? I think the dithering, I don't really know how I came into that. It, you know, some of it was a bit of I watched some stuff that Ken Taylor was doing with how he was using his pen tool with dissolve as he was doing it, and it gave more of those crisper lines. And I was like, hey, I like that. And so I pick up little things here and there from things like that. I mean,
I can see Ken Taylor in some of your other pieces for sure. Yeah. And we'll talk about some of those specific pieces in a little bit, but I can see both inspirations, which is really, it's pretty amazing how you've been able to kind of adapt both of those styles into your own.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, it would be totally out of left field to say I'm not inspired by those. I mean, I think it's been a kind of a culmination. Like I think some of those original things that like I really connected to Invisible Creature right away, like the way that they did their shading and the way they did their shapes and color, and I'm always drawn to minimalism. That's so I kind of feel like my style has become like a detailed minimalism, is how I describe it. So I mean, there's pieces like I love Chris's work, Raid 71. I mean, he does amazing things, but so busy. And I love it. Like those are pieces that I buy and collect and have and love, but I would never naturally create that.
Yeah.
I might do that to some degree, but I still really like I really like breaking the frame, as you can probably see in a lot of my stuff. And I really like when the subject can really be pushed out because the background is so bare.
Yeah.
It pays better to do minimalism, right?
I mean, I like it.
Per minute value, you mean?
If you're a band, you don't want to be the Polyphonic Spree, because that $700 doesn't go that far when you got 20 people, right?
100%. Yeah, you want to be James Taylor. That's what you want.
Well, I mean, kind of going to that point, like that's a lot of what inspired. I think a lot of my style is also based on limited color palettes, or at least limited inks. So I mean, I've done maybe one piece that was like five inks. And that's about the most I've done. And that's, a lot of that is just coming from working with indie rock bands. And you're not going to
keep the cost down.
Yeah, I've got this five color design that if you print 50 of them, it's going to be, $1,500. Have fun. Like, that sucks. They don't make money with that. And so it's, I came up with a one color design, or I made a two color design that doesn't feel like a two color design. I feel like those things, now that I'm doing stuff like for galleries or things like that I could do seven colors or whatever, I still want to do three or four, yeah, because yeah, it's more fun for me, for one thing. But yeah, I think it just kind of having that box like helps.
So
if it's just open, yeah, world, I just do whatever I want.
So speaking of fun and boxes, Blake, you have,
he checked the fun box.
Yeah. So
there it is.
You like to work kind of in a box. You tend to stay like, oh, we'll just jump in specifically. Like you have painted yourself into this box of drawing skulls, right? Like you have become the skull boy, right?
That's what they call me behind closed doors.
Yeah. Skull boy. But you always bring this level of flair to it, and this kind of beautiful simplicity to it. Whenever I see one of your pieces, I immediately identify. Like it stops my doom scrolling every time, because I know, mm-hmm, immediately this is boldly within the box that Blake has created for himself. I know you've been on the show before. You've talked to us a couple times, but give us, for anybody who's new, who's tuning in or is new to the show, give us like the elevator pitch of who you are and how you got where you were, and then we can dive into some specific pieces.
Yeah, that's a great question, mainly because I feel like I haven't done this explanation in a long time. I've forgotten who the hell I am. But I don't know. I kind of came from a similar background as Justin, but like I've played in bands, kind of came across like the art thing through that. And then I do find that I used a lot of my influences leaned a lot more on like kind of traditional Saturday morning cartoons. I was really into that, but then like the punk rock like band and kind of like came into it, and I adapted a lot of those like minimal colorways and super bright colorways to get like a lot out there with little. And it just kind of made this like really interesting mashup. And I've kind of been sitting in my style, I feel like, for a minute. And it's interesting, even when Justin was kind of going through talking about how he's kind of like evolved his style, I think your website's like a great way to see that. Like when you go to the bottom, you can see the invisible creature, mm-hmm, like influence, mm-hmm, and then as you go up, you see like you've gone to your own, like you've gotten into your own. Whereas I feel like when you go to my Instagram feed or something, like I've been doing the same bag of tricks for quite some time.
There's no progression on Blake. Yeah,
I'm lost he's saying in my own world. Yeah, I don't know how to get out. Save me.
But I mean, if you're wildly successful, why change, right?
Yeah, I'm still learning. You're already, you're
there.
So that's, define wildly successful.
Well, listen, he thinks it's wild that you're successful. Oh, there
you go. Okay, I did have this. I'm stealing this question, Andrew, because I wrote it. I had this question for you, which is that because you draw skulls for 11 months of the year, how do you differentiate, mm-hmm, yeah, yourself in October?
It's usually Skulltober, you know. Sometimes I just make
You just double down.
You have to add the, yeah, black cats.
I do. Yeah, I do. I'm not. I know that I've painted myself into a skull corner. I don't know what it is. It's almost like the skulls are the zen moment for sure. Like when I don't know what to draw, I'm just like, let's draw a skull. And like, this is selfishly vanity oriented, but like they get a lot of traction online. So it's a good thing.
Legitimately, so, no shade from anyone on this call. If you do a thing that you love, like I draw Disney things, like your skulls, yeah, are my, sure, Mickey, right? Like when I can't, exactly, think of things to draw, I draw Mickey. That's just what I do, right? And, mm-hmm, there's something to be said about that's the piece of art that's for you. And if it works, mm-hmm, out online and people like it, great. That's a nice secondary reason to do it. But your primary is it brings your heart a little, sure, bit of joy to, mm-hmm, to draw, you know, fun and cute looking skulls. Yeah, absolutely. That's,
is
nothing
it
to be ashamed
weird
about
that Blake prints out pictures of me and rips the eyes out and then like sends them to me with like threatening messages?
It's not weird to me, because I do similar things. So
takes months to get there. The Canada mail system is just horrendous.
Yeah. And it's expensive, by the way.
One thing Blake does that I love so well, though, is you create characters that are super cool, like the. Like the raccoon guys, and I mean all sorts of, I mean, you'll just like, here's this guy that was in my head, and I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to tap into that. I'll be like, here's a bird that I had in my head that's not anatomically right, you know, but
none of my characters are anatomically correct.
Really muscular arms. Hey, so on that note, though, Justin, that's a good point and a good segue into a story. I wear the shirt that you sent me pretty regularly. The pizza Grim Reaper. I wear it pretty regularly, and I don't think there's ever a time. Maybe for every other time I wear it, someone stops me and tells me they really like it and they really think that it's a cool shirt. And I think, oh, I should tell Blake that. And then I never do. But now...
We're here now.
Publicly, I want to say people love that shirt. But I was wearing it one day, and I used to work full-time at a church. I was a designer for a church. And there happened to... I walked out to where the bathrooms were, which are in like a public area outside the office. And as I walked out, I'm like, what's going on out here? And I walked in, and there was a funeral going on. And there was all these people there for a funeral. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was standing there just greeting people as they walked in. And then I realized what shirt I was wearing. And I'm like, I need to get out of here as soon as possible. So I just kind of crossed my arms and slowly backed out of the room because I felt like a real dick.
Homer Simpson into the shrubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, ironically, there's a giant skull on the back as well. So
yeah, and it just says F you or you're next. Oh, so go, Patrick.
So we're about to jump into the collaboration that y'all have done together. But before we do, I actually, Justin, I have a question I want to ask about your first show, which was Driven, the iconic cars that drive us. I got that perfect.
He read that really well off of his screen.
Yes, very good. By the way, awesome pieces and awesome show.
Thank you.
What was the inspiration for actually going in on that as a series?
So COVID happened, and I was pretty much exclusively doing gig posters, and that rolled around. I was like, cool, all the concerts are canceled. And I had several, you know, posters in the hopper for Wilco and other bands, and everything just went away. And so I was like, well, if I want to keep making stuff, I've got to do something else. And I've always loved alternative movie posters, but I was like, well, you know, like music was like, well, I did that. So it's not like, the curtain and I don't know what's going on. I'm just like, hit up their tour manager or find out who their manager is and or contact the band or whatever. But there is like a mystique to movie posters for me, especially these like licensed ones, trying to figure out how the hell to navigate all that. But I ended up reaching out to Gallery 1988 at one point, and they brought me on board, and I was like, this is awesome, it's super fun. And a couple months down the road, I was like, well, I mean, I always love the pieces the Hero Complex puts out, and so I reached out to them, didn't expect anything back, and I'd heard back from them like the next day, and they're like, yeah, we'd love to have you on. Here's some of the shows we have coming up. And so I did a couple pieces for that. One of the shows was the John Hughes show, the Hughes Your Daddy. And so I did Ferris Bueller's Day Off and did Cameron's Dad's Car, because that to me is like that's the piece I always remember for that. And I'm always driven by iconography. I just really like...
Nice.
And plays on words.
Good job. That's nice.
Can I do? So, for me, I almost never am like, ooh, an amazing, you know, cast montage poster. They're great. The people who do them really well. I'm probably never going to make one of those because it's not what I'm, you know, gravitate towards. So, yeah, I always like things that are just iconography, where you can kind of put yourself in the film. Here's the thing that I connected with. Forget the characters. I'm the character. And so for me, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I was like, well, I'll do Cameron's Dad's Car. Sent that in, did the little Easter egg of making the Ferrari Stallion Ferris on the float. And, you know, just little stuff like that. And I had a lot of fun with it. I sent it in, and they're really excited about it. And I think maybe 2 days later, Adam hit me up and was like, hey, we really, really like this piece. Would you want to do a whole series of cars? And I was like, that sounds fantastic. And so Adam and Tim and I kind of got together and just made a dream list of, you know, cars that would be fun to make. And, you know, obviously DeLorean would be amazing. The Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters would be awesome, but they've been done really well a lot of times.
Yeah.
And there's like, I think, Craig Drake maybe did,
he did both the of those Ecto-1. Actually. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And like both of them, I was like, this
and
is,
you said, what? You said to yourself, no one's done Mr. Plow justice. So, yeah. I love it. That's incredible. Thanks. I love how that whole piece came together. And the National Lampoon's Vacation car, like, you really took, you really made it iconic for sure.
Thanks.
I love your style, like how you're taking all the cars, but the Mr. Plow one, it's your style, but it still has that like animated feel to it. And like, I just love that your style adapts.
Thanks. I really tried to, there's definitely elements of my style in there, but I definitely wanted to attribute it correctly to their style. Cause it's, you know, it's such a cool piece. How do you, and that was one too, I was like, how do I draw a cartoon, you know, where you go, oh, that's the Simpsons, but also that's, you know, not exactly that. Yeah. That was a fun one.
Is there, so when you're putting together a show, I'm just curious, is there anything that you do in terms of curating or making pieces that makes it a show versus just a bunch of prints?
For that one, it was definitely I wanted to have a similar treatment to how the cars lived in the frame. You know, I wanted to all, I can definitely all have an interesting angle to it. And then I wanted them to have like a similar stylistic background, where it's like, it's a minimal background. That's something that's a play to the, you know, like with Ferris Bueller, is like, it kind of shows all the stuff they did that day without actually showing just a bunch of noodles and stuff. But the, you know, just little aspects of the film, like the Jurassic Park, just the texture of the Barbasol can, you know, and if you get it, you get it. If you don't, whatever, it's just a background. The concept for that was to make them feel consistent. I wanted similar sizes, similar shapes, and then similar layouts of the vehicles, but also didn't want them to all be, here's the front end of the car. And it worked out well that, you know, different vehicles lended themselves to different, like, Wayne's World, it was perfect to have the back of it because it's such a cool hatchback design of that vehicle anyway.
So, speaking of Wayne's World, right, the iconic duo of Wayne and Garth, let's talk about the iconic duo of you and Blake jumping into this collaboration piece that you guys worked on. You can laugh all you want. That was a beautiful transition,
it was
everybody.
Perfect segue.
This isn't my first rodeo. It's my third rodeo. we're going to talk a little bit of time talking about this new piece that you guys have just collaborated on, that the two of you came together on, and it's this piece that you guys did for Wilco. Now, is this an official piece that you did for them or a fan piece that you did? It's official, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, nope. This is an official Wilco piece. It was for their show at
Shelburne.
Look at Vermont.
The poster.
To make sure.
So many Wilco posters. Sorry, Vermont. You do, Justin.
I've worked with them a good bit, and they hit me up on a couple pieces for this tour, and I had a few already in the hopper, and I hit up Blake. I was like, I think it would be fun to do one together, and I'll pitch it to Wilco, and we did, and they liked it. So that was it was super fun.
Just as a bit of a like precursor to it all, it was really interesting. I think like Justin, I don't know, it was probably like a year ago at this point, maybe more, kind of hit me up out of the blue. Like just there was a kinship to like just bands and like kind of loving a very particular band, which is the Get Up Kids, which we have a very fondness for. Mm-hmm. And he had like shown me one of the posters and all this kind of stuff. And it was, ever since that moment, there, like, we weren't in each other's DMs like every day or anything, but it was like, oh, now I'm very aware of what Justin's doing. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of like, I'm always kind of like patting him on the back, and I'm like, this is amazing, man. This is like what you're doing, so cool. And even seeing the evolution of his work has just been like so unbelievable, because it has, it's, I think it's actually been maybe 2 years at this point, but it's just been so cool to, and then to get the tap from Justin to be like, hey, do you want to work on something? And I'm not going to lie, I don't think I've ever really collaborated on anything before. And correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, I'm not sure if you have either, really.
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't either. And that, I mean, it was kind of one too that, I mean, so I guess partway through COVID, there was a couple people that I connected with just with Instagram, and Blake was definitely one. It's like Chris Kohler, Blake, and a guy named Julian Rodriguez. And yeah, there was definitely that kinship. We bonded over GitHub Kids because, you know, that's usually an immediate, I know you're going to be a buddy of mine if you like the GitHub Kids, and especially if you like them as much as I do. And so, yeah, we bonded over that. And I've loved Blake's style. I don't know, maybe it was in the back of my head that it'd be fun to do something with him sometime. But I mean, and I don't know why, because like he said, I've never collaborated with anyone before on a piece. I've had ideas back and forth with people, but never like, what if you do part of this and I do part of this? Because I honestly didn't even know how that would work. But there was something about, I felt like our styles went together in a really cool way. And yeah, so, you know, I reached out to Blake, and it couldn't have gone any smoother. Which was,
yeah, it was weirdly smooth.
Yeah. So what was that process like for the two of you? Like, how did you decide who does what?
So I think it was Justin initially, like, kind of came to me suggesting, like, he liked my characters and would like to see, like, what he could do in the sense of, like, rendering out, like, one of my, like, pieces of line work. And I kind of at his work after he said, I'm trying to like rack my brain and go like, I'm not sure how this is going to go. Just because like when you see Justin's work, there is the grit and the detail, and my stuff is like pretty flat and straightforward. Like it just doesn't have much rendering outside of like maybe the odd halftone.
Okay.
And when he said that, like, let's use one of your characters, I literally just tossed him a few sketches, and we kind of then the collaboration ball just started to roll. And like Justin said, it was very organic in the sense of like, what do you think of these? And we hemmed and hawed a little bit back and forth. And then it was like, we just kind of like move forward on one. And because he knows the band a lot more than I do, because he's done work for them, he kind of was like, I think this would work better than this. Mm-hmm. And the roughs.
Yeah, talk us through the rough process here, because they're quite rough. They're just doodles, right? Like just sketches.
Yeah. Wow, thanks.
Yeah, they really suck.
This is really trash compared to where it ended.
So I think, and yeah, Justin suggested like it's Wilco, and I know like from the stuff that I've seen in the past, they do have this affinity kind of for animals on their posters and their album covers in many instances. Mm-hmm. So I think you suggested cats, and I saw some of the stuff, and I saw the owl on one of the covers, and like, oh, maybe birds. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where the ball just kind of started. And I think we just started chatting back and forth. You leaned more on the cats because you thought that it would work better for what they were doing at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think you even suggested, because you liked my amplifier, or how I drew amplifiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just kind of was like, all right, let's go from there. And it's almost like we both art directed it a bit, because I would like throw down some sketches, mm-hmm. and then naturally Justin's like editing it down. So he's like, microphone stand makes it look a little like too messy. Uh-huh. There's a lot of cords in there. Yeah. But I like the little like details in my illustration. But when you're talking about a gig poster, you want to make sure the message is pretty concise and like is in front of your face, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With certain things.
You do bring a certain uniqueness in your style when it comes to like a cartoony isometric deal. And you do that a lot, where you play with organic shapes. And then like really rigid shapes with just enough bevel on it to feel fun. And so it lends itself well to that.
So were y'all trading, I mean, basically like the art director position? Like when you started out, was there any type of discussion of who had like a final say in what was going on, or it was a collaboration all the way through?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was straight through. I mean, there was no, yeah, I don't think there was ever, I think it was like, it, maybe, I don't know what your take on it was, but in my mind, it was like, well, we'll both be satisfied with it when we're done.
Even, I think, one of the things, if I do recall, like our messages back and forth, there was, so you, as you go through the different pieces, you'll see kind of the typography at the top kind of changing a little bit from a more like kind of sketch out version to a more like kind of like single, like monoline clean script. And that was, so Justin did a take and I would do a take back and forth because we were just trying to figure out like what font treatment would go well with it. And like I naturally lean towards more of a like a clean line that could be like a vector almost. And with some of Justin's stuff, like it definitely has more of like that handmade feel to it when you, especially when you're doing words. So we kind of went back and forth between that. And I was, yeah, as you can see, I was like putting up little things of, I'm like, well, maybe I could make it look a little bit more rough up around the edges. And when you see this, you see there's almost no difference between the two. I just really liked that one idea.
This one's really clean and this one's really clean.
No, I think we really captured your feedback, Justin.
So then I think we couldn't actually decide because I was even like running it by Andrea, my wife, and we were just kind of back and forth. So ultimately, I think Justin like just sent a few versions and let the band decide in the end.
Yeah, we both ran it by our wives, and both of them were like, I like them both. I'm like, cool, that's not helpful.
That's really helpful. If we were on a trolley, and the trolley couldn't stop for one of them. So I do want to know, Blake, this is for you. Going back to your original sketch, this right here, you knew at the beginning of this process that this poster was for Wilco, right? That this isn't actually a sarcastic question. I legitimately want to know the answer to what I'm going to ask.
Jeez, Blake.
That's kind of, yeah, it was a yes and no. It was just kind of like we wanted to know that we were collaborating on something. I know Justin was working with a number of bands.
Okay, so this wasn't necessarily a Wilco-specific design when you first started off, Blake, from your perspective.
The number one candidate was Wilco, and that's why the animals were kind of in play, but the animals are interchangeable, but it worked out for Wilco because that was the number one. So
All right, because I saw that and was just thinking like, why not just write Wilco?
and the
band,
the final version did end up a little different than the one you have because that one still had a lot of the type up at the top, and what we ended up doing was kind of fun because it ended up taking on some of the hand-drawn elements. We ended up actually, so the final print, they kind of liked all the stuff that we were drawing on there. So we ended up, I don't know if you can you see me at this point or is it just,
I'll stop sharing so people can see you. How about that?
Yeah,
that sounds good. So yeah, here's the actual final. And so we had like the venue details and stuff up here under Kamikaze Palm Tree at first. And then we ended up incorporating it because originally this was going to be for the Yankee Hotel Foxtrot tour. And then that ended up getting something moved and it ended up going for the next tour. So we had YHF on here for Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, ended up taking that off and put Shelburne, Vermont on that, the green it was at the green at the museum. And then the show date ended up, I was like, what do we put on those water bottles? And ended up being the show date. And then, you know, the year ended up being the tag on this amp. So it ended up being fun that we actually got to utilize all those amp tags. So it turned out, I was really happy with that.
You know, it's interesting because I saw, when I saw this piece posted the first time, I don't know that I saw the collaboration. So Blake and I have known each other for a bit. And so it looked kind of like a Blake piece. And I don't think I really thought about the details. Now, in fairness, I'm also not like a designer or an artist. So... forgive me, but having gone through it now and seen both of your work, now the collaboration is so obvious, and like I fully see both of your contributions. But it is a very it did come out as a single piece, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it felt super cohesive to me. I mean, there's a lot of times I felt like I was just rendering a Blake piece. I mean, there was, I think it was fun because I feel like the people that, that know my stuff, I was excited to introduce them to Blake's stuff and vice versa.
Totally, yeah.
And it, you know, it ended up being like a, I love the thing for me is I think we both got to do our favorite aspect of things. Like, you know, Blake was like, I really like doing line work. And then I, you know, get bogged down with all the crap after that. And I was like, I really like to burst through the first part so I can get to the rendering because that's the most fun for me. And so it was like, for me, it was like I time warped to doing the part that I love. I mean, it went by really quickly once I was working on it. Cause I'm like, oh, sweet details. And I was just like, you know, ripping apart little bits of the amp and having some of the, you know, the Tolex tear off and showing those little things and just those little, like,
the you got to play as a musician, you got to play with the things that only a musician would know in a print like that. Like you get to play with the details. Two things that come out, that come out of that for me, Blake, for you, you are not new to this idea of someone taking work that like characters that you've drawn and they being rendered out. You've been having a lot of your stuff be like 3D sculpted and things like that recently. How's that feel to see your work done in a very recognizable way, but in a wholly different medium?
Yeah, in 3D, it never gets old, which is awesome. The first time I was ever approached was years ago. And I was like, why do you want to do my work? Like, I just didn't quite understand it. And then as people have kind of like continued to do it, like it's, I feel like every week I'll get like a tag, somebody does it. And so initially it was a 3D artist who has now become like pretty popular. We did that like cover piece on 3D Worlds magazine. And he's become very popular that like everybody follows his feed. And now the entire, like, I feel like the Blender community follows me now.
Yeah.
And because of that, everybody does it. And then I'm like, why do you guys like to render my artwork out so much? And I've been asking it. And it's really because of the simplistic shapes in general, because they don't have to like over render something.
Sure.
It's all characterized, and they can start with kind of the basics and then just add character to it, opposed to having to like render out like a crazy detailed thing.
Sure.
And I don't know why I didn't think about that, but it totally makes sense, especially because a lot of, I guess, early starting like 3D artists like to render out my work as well.
So. Yeah. Second half of that question for me is, when are we going to get a Jetpacks and Roller Skates vinyl figure?
I would get that.
This one's like it was coming along a while ago. I was trying to do the raccoon guy.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
I've been trying to do one for a long time, but then like when it gets this far, I get like really bored of it and I don't like it at all.
then give it to someone else at that point to finish the project. Because we all want one of them on ourselves, as all I want to say about that.
Just send me that one.
It's true. Yeah.
Patrick will take that one because then it's a one of one, and that's best case scenario.
That's all he wants. It doesn't matter what it looks like.
All right, we've got a few minutes left. I want to throw a question from our chat. First of all, from Kate in the chat for both of you, but she did want to say that her first show was also the John Hughes show, and so that she did awesome. With Hero Complex, and so she's super excited that you guys got to work in that show together. You also did, I believe you both also worked on the Ozark show together, because you're your Blue Cat Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she did one for Ozark as well. But from her, she has a question for both of you. Are there any dream projects that either of you have like in your wish bank? She didn't say wish bank. I'm paraphrasing. or are there projects that would push you to explore something different that you would love to do?
I'm honestly like I'm the worst because like I'm the yes person that just I love just creating things. So anything that comes my way, but Justin, like a Get Up Kids poster, I'm just saying, like, how do we make it happen?
I think we can make it happen. We'll make it happen.
But I think the 3D thing is also like one of those, like actually making a figure, following it through, I've also been like very intrigued by video games and wanting to do more in that space. I've been like, I've tinkered making like indie games for years. I worked for video game companies for a while, and it's just like, it's like a moving canvas, which is kind of cool.
That is cool. I mean, my wish bank, I feel like this last year has been a lot of stuff that I feel like every piece that I've been fortunate enough to do would be like, I would be happy if this is what I did this year, just this one. I've always loved Sunny Day Real Estate and the Appleseed Cast, and I just got to do one for both of them and one poster. That was insane to me. The fact that I get to work with the Get Up Kids on a regular basis now is insane to me. There's a lot of things that my younger self is like, you get to do this now? I had Disney reach out and wanted me to do something for Thor in line with my shoe series I did. And I was like, you know my shoe series, and B, you want me to do this? Who else is doing something? And they're like, Matt Ferguson's doing something for week one and you're doing week two. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
The mouse is always watching, and the mouse knows talent. It's just what happens.
I mean, I remember like in the meeting, I was like, I don't understand, but I will do it. And, you know that. So yeah, I mean, I feel like it's been a dream year for me already. There's definitely I'd love to work with Death Cab. I'd love to do more stuff with Marvel. I mean, that's been super cool.
Yeah, when you dropped the Thor poster, I think I messaged you and I'm like, I hate how awesome this is.
Yeah, here's for everyone who's watching, this is the Thor poster we're talking about.
It's so good too. I just saw the movie like 2 weekends ago.
It's super fun.
I was like, it encapsulates it very, very nicely too. So.
Yeah.
At what point in the process do you decide that this is not spam? Like, how far in until you realize that this is not someone just trying to like take advantage of you?
That one was, so I got a cold email on my, you know, on my website contact form, and it was a person in the marketing department for Disney, and I was like, this is not real. And he was like, hey, I found your work because I went to a Wilco concert and I bought the poster and it's framed on my wall. From time to time, we reach out to freelancers, and I went to the website on the bottom of the poster, and here I am. And I was like, what the crap? So yeah, it ended up, you know, you never know what thing is going to lead to what thing. I mean, I could have reached out to them for 2 decades and never heard anything back. But you do a gig poster and
yeah,
you never know. So it was funny because on the Zoom meeting, he was like, see? And there it was.
It's right there behind him.
I don't believe this call is real still.
Yeah.
And they couldn't have been any kinder. I mean, the whole process was, sure, was fantastic. Their team was super awesome. I would work with them again in a heartbeat because they were just very, very kind and great to work with. So, I mean, that's a dream. To continue to do stuff with them would be a dream project. But as far as like doing something outside of what I normally do, I think that maybe for me it would be taking the leap to doing this thing all the time. Because House Bear essentially exists after my kids go to bed at night. And that's from, you know, 8:30 to 1 in the morning is House Bear, and then the rest of the time is my day job and that kind of thing. And it would be a dream to eventually make this is what I do. That'd be a blast.
Awesome.
Okay, so that's interesting because I did not know if this was full time or not for you. I do know, Blake, you're the busiest person I know, and you do this. The work that we see as Jetpacks, that's like spare time because you have a job doing design on a product team at a well-established company. I'm curious in this case for both of you, but I'm curious if the tool set and the mind that you bring to corporate design world, if that translates, like if those lessons translate to what you do with House Bear or Jetpacks, or if it's just kind of like two different hats that you put on and they're totally separate.
I mean, there's definitely an overlap. So at my day job, I'm a creative director at a magazine, and I'm doing a lot of layout design, a lot of photography. not a lot of illustration. So it's, for me, it's not like time to do more of the same stuff. You know, it's a totally different hat that I get to put on as far as getting to illustrate and getting to, I enjoy what I do during the day, but it's very corporate. And it's not like, you know, indie bands and movies that I love and just cult classic, you know, fun stuff that I get excited about, and nostalgia. There's none of that. So yeah. It's scratching that itch every time I get to work on stuff and illustrate for House Bear. So in that regard, it's a different hat, but then in the, you know, executing things well, making sure that if I get orders in, I'm shipping them out quick. And, you know, like that customer service aspect definitely translates. And I think just the grown-upness translates, you know, the,
sure. The adultosity.
Yeah, I want to, you know, for me, like I said before, like there's plenty of people that are way more talented than me as far as creating things and illustrations and posters and what have you. But I at least want to do my best to have, there's not many people that are going to be more enjoyable to work with than me, because I just want to treat people like people and you know, do. I mean, the golden rule, you know, like I want them to have an enjoyable time working with me. So, you know, that I guess that's where that comes.
Okay. So
Mike, same for you? Different?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Where's that land for you?
It's pretty much it's kind of the same. I always say, like, even like with other people that I work with, I find when somebody like does something on the side, it just brings like more experience. Like if anything, you might as well be like taking a course or something too. Cause like you're taking in experiences that like nobody will have because they're your experiences. And even the way I like respond to emails or the way I like take things in, like it's very different and it informs both my job, but at the same time, my job informs how I deal with things on the side. And I always respect people that kind of do some kind of creative, it doesn't have to be specifically illustration or design. It can be some kind of creative avenue, because I guarantee you'll learn something there that your company will never teach you. Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
Sure.
Yeah. We're getting near the end of this conversation. So I only have one question left. And this is for both of you, but I'm going to start with you, Blake. Favorite Halloween film? Because it's almost the season.
Ooh,
favorite Halloween film.
It's officially fall. This is happy first fall day, everybody. Welcome to it.
Oh yeah,
we do. That's
pumpkin
exciting.
Spice season. Yeah. I'm an Evil Dead guy through and through. I love the slapstick schlock and the over the top gore that is clearly fake. I kind of love that stuff. So,
and now Justin.
Crap, that's a good one. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, Halloween is a great film. I'm actually going to be releasing one, a Halloween poster this week. But that's, yeah. I don't know if that would be my favorite one, though. That's a good question. I mean, it's not really like a Halloween film, but I mean, any of the monster movies, I like Alien. That's my favorite kind of scary movie. It's not Halloween, but that's my go-to. It's just so well done.
I would be scared if I saw an alien.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Or the Charlie Brown Halloween special is pretty fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
The Great Pumpkin, everybody.
Contrast.
Yeah, that you picked two.
I like cute things and I like scary things. What do you
want? I want to see a mashup poster of those two.
Charlie Brown watching as like a chest burster comes out, like
like out an alien head comes out of the pumpkin head, the great with like chest a little.
Well, Brown. you know how Snoopy sleeps on the top of his thing.
Oh,
and it's just boom! It's Woodstock.
It's Woodstock.
It's Woodstock popping out of his chest. It writes itself, honestly.
And he flies away.
Collaboration.
This is a collaboration flywheel that we have going right now. So here's my final question, and this one's going to be specifically directed at you, Justin. I see that your very first piece on your website is for Reliant K. Official piece with them, like you did a shirt for them for their shows?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is more of a story. I almost hit Matt Thiessen with my car one time when he jumped out of front of his of their tour van or tour bus, and He was playing in the street, and I almost hit him, and I yelled at him from my car. He almost died. Did you grow up listening to? Did you grow up listening to that style of music, like that pop punky kind of deal, or has your music ebbed and flowed as you've gotten older?
So I grew up when I discovered music. My very first concert was the Wallflowers at an arena.
That's a great concert.
My second ever concert was at like this indie rock venue in Fayetteville, and it was Alkaline Trio was the opening band.
Wow.
And then like a ska band named MU330 and a local band named Gal's Revenge. And that was that put me on the kind of indie punk train and fell in love with all those bands. And then at one point I became a Christian and I was like, if you like this band, you'll like this band. Yeah. And doesn't translate. Like, it was like Alkaline Trio, you're going to love Reliant K. Like, and no.
Then you get the Nail Collection, then you're just going.
Tooth and Nail had some great
Emery's bands. Not that bad. Sorry,
yeah, there's awesome bands. So, but I ended up playing in a band and, Reliant K was buddies with our band, so we toured together, and then we were on a record label with Matt and Matt, and so that's how I ended up doing that with them. But yeah, they're super great guys. But yeah, and then I ended up playing in a church and played in a band with Matt from Emory. So it was there's connections to all those bands, and it turns out I was freaking the church I went to in Seattle. The Invisible Don from Invisible Creature went there, and I didn't know that. I was in the worship band, and I went to church with him for I don't know a while and never knew he was there, because there's like two services, so you don't know everybody.
Yeah, sure.
And then one time, like, the other guy was like, hey, there's another guy here that does graphic design too, I should introduce you to him, his name's Don. And I was like Don Clark freaking went there the whole time. Thanks.
Oh, come on.
Like my favorite design people. Like,
and here you were choosing second service because that's where the free donuts were. Way to go. Well, so it is, our time has come to a close for this session, for this conversation, but we're not done being friends, because I feel like this is the beginning of a new journey. We just scratched the surface of Christian rock music, right? Like, we can do 4 hours on Tooth and Nail.
We have people in common, I just realized. Anyway,
yes, we all have probably crossed paths at one point or another. So we will pick this conversation up at a later date. But in the meantime, tell everybody where they can find you, where they can follow what you're doing. Blake, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Justin.
I do many things on Instagram, but it's all jetpacks and roller skates everywhere, except Twitter. It's Blake Stevenson, but that's because I'm not super active there. So,
okay. All right.
Instagram, I'm HouseBear, and then my website is thehousebear.com, and Twitter, I'm HouseBear on there, I think, but I suck at Twitter, so
okay.
I'll see you on Instagram.
Well, so we super appreciate you guys taking time in your evenings to chat with us. For everybody who joined us for the Twitch stream, thanks so much for joining us on there. If you're listening to this after the fact, find us on Twitch when we do this so that you can ask questions in real time. You can see the stuff that we're showing. This is a very show and tell kind of experience, and so you're missing out if you're just listening. Their voices sound beautiful, but their work is great too. So, but check out what they're doing. Go find their stuff. If you're watching on Twitter, thanks for doing that. Follow, like, subscribe, do all of those things. Be a friend on all the different platforms. But we're going to start waving for now. We're going to say goodbye, and we will catch you guys later on the M of One Network.